Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
You listen to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I know you just got here. Here's the deal. If you only do the podcast, you've made a mistake in life because we're laughing at the picture of Boova that's on the opening.
It's terrible. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. If I cared more, I would say switch it. But my pride says change it, which means that I have to say don't change it.
It can't equal the same amount of pride you had in that video where you're like, I packed my own lunch today. You look like you were very happy that you had gotten 3 carrots in where only 2 carrots should fit.
Wait, that was said on a video at one point in time, or are you just making that up?
No, I just like to attach a backstory to your life.
I kind of had a feeling that was what was going on there. It certainly felt like something I would have done, but then I wasn't certain if you were just lying about that.
You never know.
All right, fair enough.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, lots of cool stuff happening on the show tonight. First of all, Michael Everton is in studio with us.
What's up?
Hey, there he is over there, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
we met earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Hey, so here's the deal. I saw Micah. He is the host of the was it Oops, I Missed Church.
Exactly. Yeah. Oops, I Missed Church every Sunday 3 to 7.
Awesome. So we're gonna talk to him about his show and how you can listen in on that stuff. He's also got some tunes that he's gonna play, and we're excited to hear those from him. And he's gonna join in the general riffraff of the program.
You know, here's the thing. I gotta say I'm a little bit threatened here. Like, I like to bring in guests that are only good at one thing better than me. And it turns out Micah could possibly be better at both things.
Only a couple.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, he's a radio host and he plays musical instruments. Right now, he's got us both beat. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but the radio show is only 10 weeks old. So, you guys have got some time.
We're on the internet.
I guess you are on the internet.
Yeah, we can just keep up a ruse for a long time. That's all.
No, I meant that as in we're worldwide.
Oh, right, we're worldwide.
Worldwide.
Take that, Michael.
You know, I mean, potentially. They we're very big in South Korea.
I'll get there.
Wow, we're really? Big in South Korea.
The world via Oski. And then I came across, there's a couple articles that I thought were interesting. Mike, you said there's a CNN article about people misusing scripture?
Yeah, it was just interesting. It was called, actually, That's Not in the Bible. And it has to do with a lot of folks in pop culture referencing Bible verses that don't actually exist. Which is a bit of our premise on Secular versus Solomon, you know, when we talk about where are you getting your wisdom from. And, you know, you hear a lot of biblical phrases. They sound biblical, but they're really kind of mixed in with American pull yourself up by your bootstraps type things, you know what I'm saying? And it gets comboed into like some kind of positive saying that is actually never in the Bible to start with. So it was an interesting article. I think we know these things to be true. But I didn't realize, you know, quite how prevalent it was. There's a guy, I don't know if they're going to mention him by name, but like, there's a certain guy that ran for president and may have won this year that, he does this a lot. He tends to reference Bible verses that don't actually exist.
Wait a minute, that's not in there.
No, that's probably not in there.
there was an article on, actually I meant to see, this is a year old by now, but it came across in my Facebook feed. Someone posted an article that said, Godless parents are doing a better job. And I thought, shoot.
Oh, man.
and so I wanted to talk about this and see if we can digest. I mean, is it true? And what do we mean by better? and so we'll talk about that article, Godless Parents Are Doing a Better Job. Also, we got some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Mike, did you preview any of that stuff?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I looked at them. they're not super distinct.
Do they have, like, some examples?
Of the questions people are asking?
Well, of misused from that CNN article.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, here, let me read the opening salvo right quick, okay? It says, NFL legend Mike Ditka was giving a news conference one day after being fired as the coach of the Chicago Bears when he decided to quote the Bible. Scripture tells us that all things shall pass, a choked-up Ditka said after leading his team to only 5 wins during the previous season. This, too, shall pass. Ditka fumbled his biblical citation, though. The phrase, this too shall pass, doesn't appear in the Bible. Ditka was quoting a phantom scripture that sounds like it belongs in the Bible, but look closer and it's not there. There's also ones, these phantom passages include, God helps those who help themselves, spare the rod, spoil the child, and there's often a cited paraphrase, Satan tempted Eve to eat the forbidden apple in the Garden of Eden. None of those passages appear in the Bible, and no, and one is actually anti-biblical, scholars say.
Huh. Which one?
Yeah, Mike.
I don't know. Hold on. I'm not a scholar.
Me neither. That's how I can tell.
God helps those who help themselves. Well, that one's anti-biblical.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds a lot different than, give up your life. Follow me.
Spare the rod, spoil the child? That's not in there?
I think I used to say that. Yeah, exactly. I thought that was in Proverbs, but I think my parents used to say that. I think they were just justifying what they were doing.
Yeah.
That might have been the issue.
Hold on.
God works in mysterious ways. People say that all the time. That's not in
there. That's not in there.
Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in there.
No, that's not a... Well, I don't think the word godliness is in the Bible.
Hold on a second. Does God not work in mysterious ways?
Yeah, that's the thing where it's like, I feel like he does.
Yeah.
It might not say those exact words in the Bible, but he certainly does.
I think that's the problem here, is people are paraphrasing things that they're saying and are saying, well, this is what the Bible says. Because, I mean, ultimately, like, this too shall pass, like, yeah, that's true.
You're stuff not kinda, wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's not an incorrect thing. Like, we understand that, like, the stuff that happens here is only here.
No, I mean,
there is past this.
That could have been Geppetto's slogan.
Yeah.
Like, in it, you take your average clockmaker.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not necessarily
pass,
biblical.
And I will mark it with a tick.
It's not necessarily something that's biblical, but it doesn't mean it's like against God to say it. I think the problem is people are saying, hey, the Bible tells us this too shall pass. It's like, well, that's not technically true, but I mean.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think the bigger problem is, I mean, there is a little bit, you're not quoting scripture directly, right? But like, if you're trying to solve someone's issues with a phrase of some kind, you're not doing it right anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
No one's comforted by that. This too shall pass. Oh, it's a good thing. Okay, yeah. I guess we're fine.
Thanks. Now I can deal with all this stuff that's happening because I heard you say your phrase.
I just got fired. My company's downsizing and they let me go. Well, God works in mysterious ways. Well,
thanks.
Yeah.
I'm comforted by the mystery.
Thanks, Greg. You're the best.
Yeah. Did you ever consider that you just don't get it because you're an idiot? You know what I'm saying? Maybe God does crazy cool things and my human mind just can't take it. That's not a mystery. It just means I just don't understand it.
Right.
Right. I mean, it also we also know that he's not a if he's not a god of chaos, right? If he's it's a god of order.
Well, he created order.
Right. So, like, it's a order. It's a mysterious order.
Micah, have you?
That's
ever,
not comforting.
Have you ever been caught using phrases like this?
I don't know. I feel like I feel like they're kind of cliche, you know, or things that people say is like a almost trying to be encouraging, but not really. I mean, it's not really encouragement. It's more just like, well, this won't last, or, you know, like, I don't know. So I try to stay away from those just because I want to, I mean, yeah, I want to offer more than a phrase to encourage somebody. And I think, I don't know, I think there's just a lot about, like, suffering and the value of suffering that you can kind of, if I'm going to encourage someone, I want to talk about how God is a God who redeems, you know, because I think, I mean, there might not be a specific verse that says God redeems, but
he does redeem.
He absolutely he does, redeems. Right. I mean, that's He's the gospel, redeemer. Right? I mean, redemption. And so that's where I kind of try and focus more on redemption, because that's just what I've learned in my own life is I've seen, like, real redemption for things.
Right.
And so that's kind of – and, yeah, if I'm going to encourage someone, I kind of like to explain, like, where – why I've experienced – or, like, how I've experienced something bad and then – what I did to get out of it, and a lot of that is, I mean, just going and finding the peace of the Lord. Because I think there's a... I think a lot of times we, as Christians, just... Or not Christians, everybody, just wants to go so fast for everything, you know? And, like, culturally, that's what culture tells us to do, especially in America. Like, go, 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 go. And I'm learning a lot just personally right now that, like, man, slow down. Like, take your time. And I think... when bad things happen to us, a lot of times we need to just slow down and wait for the redemption.
That's a good point. We don't understand the value of patience or even perseverance to the suffering. Like, the way we identify perseverance is attempting to skip over or ignore, right? I persevered through that trial by burying it deep inside and never thinking about it. Congratulations to me.
No, it's true. Actually, if you're going to, I think really what the lesson here is, if you feel urged to pop one of these phrases out of your mouth, just take a take a note from Job's buddies and just shut up. Just for a couple days.
Yeah.
You know, just be quiet. Just stand by a guy. Mm. Like, I will double down on this advice till the day that I die. Like, when really heavy stuff happens, stuff that you cannot explain, there is no comfort to be found in that moment. Just sit down next to a guy and stay there. That's it. Just hang out there until they're ready to say something, and if they're not, you don't say something.
Right.
You get up and get a bag of chips every once in a while. You grab some coffee on occasion, but you don't say nothing. You just hand it over, and then you sit right back down there, and you wait. And, like, if you can pull that off, that's the kind of friend people dig in on when stuff is just awful.
Right. Mm. That's true. Those cliched phrases are really just like an attempt to be wise and a kind of a facade way to say, yeah, I don't really care about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, if something really terrible happened, well, you'll get over it, really. This too shall pass. Like, that's a total non-commitment that says, I don't care much about you. I hope these pithy words are a comfort.
Yeah, here's the thing. Is like when the trenches show up and you're at the lowest of the low, wisdom is actually not what comes through the door. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how much wisdom that there is and how spot on it is, you don't have the ears to hear it, right? Like, you're overcome by whatever's got you at the moment. And, like, if people can't be comforted by your wisdom, then you can give them the only thing that you have to offer, which is your time. You just hang out.
No, actually, I was talking to somebody this morning, kind of about, and this is not a dictionary definition, but, like, we're trying to make distinctions on saying true things to people that are right, and it coming off as pompous or arrogant versus saying true things that are otherwise right that is received as wisdom. And I said the primary distinction between intelligence and wisdom in those circumstances is your relationship. Or, like, if you have a relationship with somebody, they will take it in as wisdom or something that could be encouraging to them or something they can learn from. Whereas if you have no relationship with someone and you're just kind of spouting off at the mouth, you could say the exact same thing and, like, it won't be wisdom. It'll just be pompous intelligence.
Yeah.
And, like, I suppose to expand that definition, it's not only it's a relationship that you have, but it's the context of what you're speaking in. You're right. Like, 2 seconds after the plane goes down, yelling, "This too shall pass," into the, or the Lord, all things happen to the good joy and glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, into the plane while it's on fire, it fails context. You know what I'm saying? Like, are there true things about God is sovereign and, you know, there will be joy and peace even when you feel like you're in a dark tunnel? Yes. Mm-hmm. But there's a context to speak that into, where if you get the context and relationship right, you have wisdom. But you could say exactly the same thing in the wrong context or in a relationship that you don't have, and it's not wisdom. And so, I think that's a big difference.
And look why the sackcloth and ashes were so popular, right? Like, you're joining with them, right? Like, I can remember there's some pretty rough stuff happened to some friends of mine, and I remember giving them a great big hug, and I didn't say anything. I just hugged them, and they said, "You gotta say something." And I said, "I got nothing." And that's the exact same place they were. And it was comforting because I'm like, I don't have any, I can't get,
right.
We're here. I'm here with you. You got nothing, I got nothing. That's all we got. And, like, it was the best. It's the best thing you can do. It does not fail.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a point you can reach where you just kind of realize your nothingness, when, especially in suffering and things like that, when awful stuff happens where, like, there's nothing that I can say or do to really explain this. And that is, I mean, like, rock bottom, I guess, is what a lot of people would explain it. And that's, like, one of the best places to be, I think, because then that's when healing and redemption can start to, like, work and manifest itself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, like, in times when people should be doing or saying nothing, but just being present and aware of I don't know, either the bigness of God around them or the minutiae of their circumstances or whatever, it's trying to fill voids that cannot be filled that causes people to do crazy things.
Right.
The whole business of medium, of people, like, where someone close to you dies, right? And, like, they cannot be brought back, and, like, there's a weight to that. There's an emptiness, but there's also a redemption and a ultimate joy and peace that comes from kind of digesting the full circle of all that stuff. And, like, a wrong way to try to fill that void is to find a guy who's like, yeah, no, I'll just bring him back. I'll have him show up here and talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's an attempt, not being able to deal with a real void, and an emptiness and not being able to, like, walk through that in perseverance. I really like what Micah was saying. Like, now recognizing that like this is just something you're going to have to go through, and you're going to have to slow walk the thing. That's where the healthy way of dealing with it. If something like that happened and you walked around the next day like it did not occur, that's psychopathic activity, right? Like, that's not normal. There was a friend of mine I met for lunch today, and he's just got a lot of heavy stuff going on, and he's like, you know, I can't sort out some of these emotions that I'm feeling, and like, you know, I just don't know kind of how to express it, and I was going to, you know, I feel weird. I'm like, yeah, because you're a human. Right? There's a bunch of stuff going on around you. And if you didn't feel it, like, that would make you a crazy person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's completely normal to feel that way. And so, like, trying to get around the need to deal and work through things like that in perseverance, in silence, in petition to God, by trying to skirt around and cheat the thing a little. Like, that's where we get to some really unhealthy ways of dealing, with some rough times in life. And we don't deal with them realistically, and then it just continues to compound over and over again.
Yeah. That's something, because I've realized just recently how bad I am at letting myself experience, like, negative emotions. Because I've always been such a happy-go-lucky kind of guy that So I got paralyzed, right? I got paralyzed 4 years ago in July, and I wasn't really that sad. Like, I didn't really go through a grieving process when I got paralyzed, because, I don't know, I was, like, very aware that it was going to be worked out for good. Like, I knew it was going to be used for good eventually.
Yeah.
And, but starting out, it was like, or just recently, at the end of January, I was dumped by a girl, and that was like, and I was, like, ready to marry her. And so because of that, that was like the real, I actually like allowed myself to grieve and feel it, you know, and really like experience like sadness, because I think I've always like been so obsessed with having this image of like, oh, that's the happy paralyzed guy, or it's Micah, he's always happy, you know? And I like really kind of hindered myself from like really feeling things. And because of that, it like, I was being like a completely false self.
Right.
As I've just been realizing, like, I've been going, realizing so much stuff just over the past, like, month and a half, like, 2 months, because of, just this loss that I experienced with this girl. And then, just realizing how much, like, pride I had, but I wasn't even aware of it.
Right.
Like, I had just been so blinded to all these things that I knew were foolish and, like, stupid, but I didn't really even think about it because I was so blinded by trying to keep up an image or a false self, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like everybody does that. You know, to a certain extent, like,
absolutely.
The thing that I said that you usually get to thank God for is the ability to know the difference, right? Mm. I can remember the time when I figured out that I was phoning most of my relationship with Jesus in. Like, it was just a giant facade, you know? I never much was one for, the happy Christian, we got this thing all figured out thing. I was never very good at that, you know? But, like, I was pretty good at bringing the heavy and some of the biblical changes, especially what's expected out of a man, and bringing it pretty hard and heavy as if it applied and that's the way I live my life. And I wasn't, you know, and I wasn't. And I can remember the day when God showed that to me, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm really upset that I've been such a fool for the last X number of years, right? But I couldn't be any happier that God let me see the difference. Because I could have gone on being a fool for years, just like most. You know, I could have just continued in my own way and decided this was what was for me, and then God showed me the difference, and I'm like, man, I don't know what I'd have done without this. I'd have continued being exactly this way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. Anyway, the tail end of this thing is, the guy goes on a little bit of a tangent here, where he talks about the story in the book of Genesis never places Satan in the Garden of Eden, and the three wise men never visited Jesus, according to the scripture. I don't know who their biblical man is.
Well, I mean, they visited Jesus. They just weren't there when he was born.
Yeah.
He was like a toddler.
Oh, yeah. It says, nor did the New Testament passages say that three wise men visited baby Jesus.
Yeah.
So he's brought up something but said it oddly. Like, it did say three wise men visited. It just didn't say they visited baby Jesus. One of the things he says is, let's see, most people have heard this one, God helps those who help themselves. It's another phantom scripture that appears nowhere in the Bible, but many people think it does. It's actually attributed to Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Not actually an author of any books of the Bible. Just a heads up, just in case anyone was wondering.
There was actually he did write Fourth Peter under the name Silence Do Good, but it was not accepted.
Yeah, we didn't get it.
We'd already established the canon before that occurred.
Ben, we got to talk. We know your silence. First off, second off, unfortunately, it's kind of already solid. Like we're not going to put you in there.
Yeah, here's the deal. Ben Franklin was the guy. Like we look at the internet and be like, well, people can post whatever they want because they can self-publish and there's no like Benjamin Franklin is that guy.
Yeah,
he has his own printing spot. And he's like, this is gold. Print it up.
What was that story I was reading about Alexandre Dumas where he had started the guy who wrote Count of Monte Cristo, right?
And like Three Musketeers and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So he owned his own paper, right? It was his. And he printed articles or whatever, and his own editor said, look, we can't pay you what we used to. And he goes, if you don't pay me, I'm going to go sell my articles to the other paper. And the editor's like, it's your paper. You own this paper. He goes, not at those prices. I will not write here. And so he started selling his articles to the other newspaper, yeah. Put his own self out of business.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stories about him. There was one where like they didn't believe that he was such a prolific writer, and so they locked him in a room and fed him like one piece of paper at a time under the door, and he would write something and then feed it back out.
Whoa.
Because they were claiming that he had like a team of writers that would write on his behalf. He also published like a full library's worth of travel books on some various places in, I think it was like southern, like get into the Mediterranean and in India and stuff. And he never traveled there. He just read other books that other people had read about it and then wrote a better job as if he'd been there. And so there's like a travel library of Alexandre Dumas books, places he's never been.
That is a guy who's too aware of how good he is at something. He goes, hey, you know how I have absolutely no expertise on that? I'm going to read about your expertise and just, I'm going to say it better than you did.
he's great. He was just one of those larger-than-life dudes.
Yeah.
All right, just bring this up. This is the best part. Is others blame, they're blaming the spread of this. They said to blame the spread of phantom Bible passages on King James. Or more specifically, the declining popularity of King James' translation of the Bible. That translation, which marks 400 years of existence this year, had a near monopoly on the Bible market as recently as 50 years ago. If you quoted the Bible and got it wrong then, people were more likely to notice because there was only one text. Today, so many different translations are used that almost no one can tell for sure if something supposedly from the Bible is being quoted.
Oh, come on.
That's ridiculous.
That's a little weird, right? Like, that is... take up your cross and follow me is not rendered so differently in the 2008 NIV.
Wow.
That it can't be picked out.
They're also blaming the phantom Bible verses on Martin Luther and the Reformation because it's a great Protestant tradition for anyone, milkmaid, cobbler, or innkeeper, to be able to pick up the Bible and read for herself. No need for a highly trained scholar or cleric to walk a layperson through the text. So they're basically saying because we let the cobbler pick it up, he's quoting out bad scripture because all he knows is shoes.
Gosh.
He just goes, shoo, 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 bad Bible verse, shoo, 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 shoo.
God this helps those who help themselves. By the way, you need a leather piece right there.
If I can summarize, the Bible has been polluted by the dummies. We should have kept it in the higher ranks.
You don't get to meet the Bible until you've been in school long enough.
Remind me not to be a professor of biblical studies anywhere. It ruins a man.
Boy, yeah, he looks at the world in a very callous way.
Right?
Yeah, so anyway, to round this thing up, here's the deal. Like, let's say you know Jesus, right? And your tendency is to pop off even just a soul scripture. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, in someone's time of need or trouble or whatever... If you show up with just one verse and you're ready to pop that off and you think that's going to help, you just do the Job friends and you sit there and be quiet, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, if you want to explain Jesus as a whole, the person's worth in the eyes of their creator and the person's worth in your eyes, you go ahead and have that conversation. That's okay for you. But if you're going to throw out one Bible verse with no context, no backstory, no relationship, it's better off if you just be quiet because that's not how it's done.
Yeah, all you're doing is alienating the person if they didn't know that Bible verse and just telling them, hey, first off, you are supposed to think a specific way based off of this and your grief is no longer here because of the verse that I just said. And by the way, if you didn't know the verse, you should feel worse about not knowing it in the first place.
You know, and if you want a good biblical example, people are like, hey, Jesus, tell us stuff. He goes, hang on, let me get on this mountain. Or, hey, Jesus, tell us stuff. He says, let me grab this boat. I got some stuff to say. And then he go on. You know, he don't just pop out one-hit wonders and then fly out, you know. He's like, here's the deal. 5 chapters later, here's what I'm saying.
No, yeah, that's actually why I've every once in a while somebody like, hey, what is your life verse? And I said, no, I don't do that. I do.
It's not a thing. I have the Bible.
I have a life, Jesus. right? Like, because I can't, there's, like, it is so restrictive to me. Like, if Jesus doesn't have a life verse, I feel like I can skip it. Right? Like,
so, can you imagine someone walking up, hey, Jesus, what's your life verse? Like, what's really it for you?
Somebody gave me one of those from when my daughter was born. They gave me a plaque with her name on it, birth date, and it was her life verse.
Oh, they chose one on her behalf?
Yeah, and I said, that's definitely not it. Like, I didn't say it till after they left, but I showed it to my wife, and I said, I'm going to throw this away.
Here's the deal. I get it, right? Who's like, hey, what's your life verse? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I said, okay, that's fantastic. But then Mark opens with repent and be baptized. Yeah. And I think to myself, that's a strong contender, is it not? It's a strong contender. And so, no, I just can't do the, I can't do the life verse.
What's your life voice? It's a multiple choice answer.
Yeah. All right. You're listening live from the Path. We're hanging out with Michael Everton. And I tell you what, let's get in on one of these, first of all, tell me a little bit about your radio program. How'd you get into radio?
Yeah. It was kind of random and cool because I was living in Oskaloosa, and I've been living in Oskaloosa for like a year now, and that's pretty long for me because, I mean, I grew up there for like 10 years, and I went to high school there and stuff, but then after that, I moved around quite a bit, and I've gotten to live in quite a few places. So then I came back to Oskaloosa last year, and I was thinking I should settle down for a little bit and get a job and make some money. And then I was looking for jobs pretty much anywhere I could get one. And then my best friend's wife told me that the radio station was hiring. And they were originally looking for a salesperson. And I didn't really want to do sales. I preferred to do on-air stuff. And so then they hired me on just to do on-air stuff. And then they put me in sales also. They ended up putting me in sales because they needed another person to do sales. And I realized, after like a month of doing sales, that I just was not very good at it.
Right.
Because both my parents have been business owners, like small business owners, and radio advertising is just expensive if you don't have, I mean, it works if you have the money to invest in it, but
right.
Otherwise it's like the small businesses can't really afford it. And my boss told me after listening to my show, he felt like, he said a good salesperson cares about their pocketbook and the station's pocketbook. And he thought that I cared more about the customer's pocketbook. Which is pretty true, because I just don't like taking people's money.
Right.
And I really don't care about money enough to be a good salesperson, because I feel like to be a good salesperson, you kind of have to have a drive for some money, you know? And my heart was like definitely in my show more than, and like making commercials and stuff.
Sure.
So just recently, I got switched out of sales officially, and now I only work 10 to 3 Tuesday through Friday, and then I work on the weekends doing my show stuff.
Cool. So tell me a little about your show. We said it was called Oops, I Missed Church.
Yeah, Oops, I Missed Church. I got that name from a friend of mine who used to work at a local news broadcaster that's affiliated with the college in Oskaloosa. And he had told me about how he wanted to start a radio show called Whoops, I Missed Church years ago. Like, he told me that when I was in high school and working with him. And then I ran into him one night, and I told him I was going to get a radio show, and I was trying to come up with a good name for it. And I was originally going to call it the Afternoon Sabbath Show, because the acronym would have been kind of funny. But I decided against it because he told me, oops, I missed church. And it was perfect, because from 3 to 7, it's a great time to listen to something if you missed church, if you did or not, really.
Right.
And so with the show, it's pretty cool because there's so much room for growth and different things to happen. And so each week I do a fruit of the week based off the fruit of the Spirit. And so love, joy, peace, patience, kind, you know. And then I went through the first 9 weeks, and then just yesterday, I decided I was going to just kind of recycle through the fruit. Because they work really good as loose themes for the show.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, I mean, there's just so much to be talked about with all the different fruits of the Spirit. Because, like, love, that's the most, like, broad topic in the world, I feel.
Right.
There's so much to be said about love. And so that was our theme yesterday, and next week it'll be joy. And just kind of going on and on. And so that's I want it to be a place where people who don't identify as Christians can tune in and hear music that they may have never heard before, and then just hear conversations about things that I think matter, like worldview. Because I want the conversations to focus primarily on worldview and just different ideologies and things that make us, like, why we believe what we believe.
Right.
So the majority of my guests so far have been of the same faith as me. They love Jesus, and that's been great, but I want to get more diversity on the show just because I think there's so much value in having conversations about the things that we believe, and I think that people can really enjoy listening to that.
Sure.
Because there's just so much to be learned from having a conversation with someone. I feel like I've learned, I've just learned so much stuff from talking to people. I never went to, like, actual college. I might do it now. I'm thinking about going to college because it'd be cool. But I never did actual college. I did a year of ministry school in Florida, and I practiced, like, worship ministry.
Yeah.
And I loved that, but I didn't really ever see myself going to real college because I never really saw myself having a real job. And so
I like the way you live.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I'm with you. I don't want to have a real job either.
But I mean, yeah, and so it's cool. It's really pretty awesome the way that things have worked out because I was in Oskaloosa, not necessarily because I wanted to, but then having this girlfriend that I had, it made it way easier to be in Oskaloosa.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, cool, I could stick around. And then I got this job and was doing that, and I was like, right on. And so now I'm just working on the show and making commercials and stuff, and I'm having a blast. I think it's really, really exciting to me because I just think there's so much – it's like a platform for creativity, and I want to have – people of like all different beliefs on, because I really just want to open up people's minds from the base of a Christian worldview. And so what I believe about Jesus is obviously like the root of the show, and that's where I get all of my ideology and beliefs and worldviews and everything. And so then I like to have people on just to discuss what we believe. And so yesterday was the first time I got to have I had an existentialist, my friend Dakota, and then like semi-Buddhist, my buddy Jacob. And we just talked about origin, meaning, morality, and destiny, the four things that kind of build up a worldview. And I kind of just want to go through those four things with all of my guests because I had never really done that yet until just yesterday. Because most of the guests up until this point have been pretty sporadic and random. The first week I had my dad, and then I had a friend who just came on, and she just asked me a bunch of questions because she likes to ask questions. And so that was the first show. And then it's just kind of every single week has been pretty different because, there's just so much – I don't know. There's just so much room to go with it and, like, so many different places I can go.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So, like, does that type of kind of blank canvas intimidate you, excite you? Like, how do you – like, you can do anything.
Yeah, it mainly excites me because – I can do anything,
right.
You know, like it's really cool too, because it's a classic hits radio station, but I'm allowed to play any music that I want. And so it's a secular radio station that I've gotten to play like actual worship tunes on, like some of my favorite worship songs.
Yeah.
And then some of my songs, just from favorite bands of mine that have probably never been played on an Oskaloosa radio station because it's a small town in Iowa. You know?
Right.
And so, I love that. And then I love all the room there is with conversations because I just love talking to people. And so it's really cool that I have 4 hours every Sunday to just talk and play music.
That's a monumental amount of time.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. That's a lot of time.
I mean, we used to do a 2 hour show, and boy, by about an hour and a half in, I don't know, man.
We were grabbing it.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
I feel like that's why I asked. Like, I feel like that's a lot. So when I say, hey, that's a 4 hour show, I think to myself, anything could happen and it's not going to be good.
Right.
Micah says, anything could happen and it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
He has a different worldview.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right. My destiny answer is, could be trouble.
So, Micah, but you also play tunes, right?
I do. I sure do.
So, you're going to pump out a couple today, and I think the first one that we were going to hear was called Politicians?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a song I wrote in high school. I'm going to grab my phone real quick off the ground.
And if I recall, Politicians is off the album called Homesick, and yeah. I think you can get that on iTunes, Spotify. Does it stream on Amazon? Is it on Amazon?
I think it is on Amazon Music. Yeah.
I love Amazon.
It's and the artist's name is Pilgrim Kid. So I don't go by Michael Leverton with my music. I just go by Pilgrim Kid, just because I like to. I think anybody who says they love Jesus is a pilgrim, and then.
That's a weird statement, Micah, I'll be honest with you.
You think so?
Yeah, it was a weird thing to say. Why? Why do you think that, Pilgrim?
Because, I mean, what's the name of this show, man? Life from the Path? We're all on this path, right? And as a Christians, what we believe, we're on the path to home, heaven. And so I'm a pilgrim who's homesick because the thing that I long for the most is heaven.
You're just a deeper guy than me.
That's all right. Yeah.
You're running into a two-dimensional man, but I can see what you're saying. Yeah. I dig on exactly what you're talking
about.
You
know what I'm saying, yeah. And
yeah, Booba gets it.
And then I say kid just because I've had so many cool revelations or just like things where God has kind of opened my mind about what it is to be a child of God. And just the weight that that carries, like if you really think about what it means to be one of God's beloved kids and to think that like we have an inheritance in heaven, like our inheritance is heaven. And that's just mind-blowing to me to kind of get your mind wrapped around the love of God is absolutely impossible because of his love for us is like so, so beyond anything that we could ever fully understand. Because he's so much bigger and better than us.
That's right on.
But you can get glimpses of it, and they're the most glorious things in the world. And so I called myself Pilgrim Kid because I'm a pilgrim who's on my way home to heaven, and I'm a kid because I think childlike faith is really important because Jesus said that, you know?
Specifically.
Right? Did he really?
Did he really?
You're apostles.
Fact check me. But, yeah, so just being pilgrims and kids because I think we're all called to be pilgrim children. So, yeah.
Yeah, right on.
Do you want me to play this song, Politicians?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, this is a song I wrote in high school, so it's a pretty old one, but well, it's not that old. I'm pretty young. I'm just a kid. Everyone a politician searching for dirty recognition. Everyone a politician speaking loud with false ambition. To tell another lie, you didn't want to break your promises, but you got selfish and you gave it all away. You burned bridges and we found you in your grave. Everyone a politician stealing time to never listen. Everyone a politician faking smiles and always kissing. To tell another lie, you didn't want to break your promises, but you got selfish and you gave it all away. You burned bridges and we found you in your grave. middle class. Sand falls through the hourglass. Now you're lower class, burning pages, wishing you could rewrite your past. Upper class, middle class. Sand falls through the hourglass. Now you're lower class, burning pages, wishing you could rewrite your past. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Hey, man, that song was awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, here's where I thought it felt like it belonged, and this is a compliment, right? But like, it felt like it's a song that should have been in the Royal Tannenbaums, like when Royal died.
That is a very,
you know what I'm saying?
Is a compliment.
That was
wow.
Weird.
Like it tells a story. It paints a picture. It has a vibe to it. It has a feeling. It has an aura. Like the whole song wraps itself in its own ball and says, here's life in this moment, right? And like I liked it. I really, really liked it. It was cool.
Thank you so much, man.
Okay, so it's humbling because of the fact that, like, you said you wrote that in high school, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember what I did in high school.
Oh, man.
And it certainly was not on that par. But weirdly, I was thinking kind of the exact same thing that Mike was thinking. One of my favorite bands is Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, yeah.
And so I love Death Cab because of the stories that they tell in their songs and how they're unapologetic with not necessarily their mundane stories, but they're relatable to every single person, but very specific at the same time. And yours, it felt like I could put myself exactly where that was. And at the same point in time, your delivery and the way that the song was sung, it reminded me so much of them. It's crazy. And I mean that entirely
Thank
as a compliment.
Thank you so much. Yeah, because
that's literally one of my
really
favorite ways. So I always love when we have people on the show that are singing and play songs like that I would listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have come on here that I would not listen to their stuff. Like, I dig on what they're doing. I love that they're working for Jesus and stuff like that. But I wouldn't put that in my CD player. But that was a song I would totally see myself driving around in my truck, windows down, just letting wind blow through the hair and just enjoying that. So that was incredible, man.
Oh, man, thank you so much, guys. It's really encouraging. Wow.
So if I can ask, you said you wrote that in high school. What were you thinking when you wrote that? What was the reason that came out?
That's what's kind of crazy. I don't really know. Because I came up with the guitar part,
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if there was like, I just have always been, like my mom when I was younger brought me to a lot of I was raised in a real conservative Christian home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember like going to the Capitol here in Des Moines to like protest after they had the gay marriage thing. Not just recently when it was passed, but like years ago when those judges made those decisions where they didn't let people vote or something. And so there were a lot of Christians at the Capitol protesting, saying like, let us vote, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to that. And so from a pretty young age, I was exposed to because my mom was just like really into political stuff. Like,
yeah.
My parents like listening to Rush Limbaugh and stuff, you know? And so I had been pretty just like aware that there were a lot of politicians and like what all went into political stuff. And when I was in high school, I think I was just kind of realizing like, man, like there's so much like fake stuff, you know, there's so many phony people I've been phony, you know, I think every single person has just that false self, like an imposter,
absolutely.
You know, that creates, somebody that you're actually not. And, so I think I was just thinking about that and like, I don't know, I don't want to be a politician. I don't want to be like a phony, fake, and not just a politician. I just don't want to be a phony. I want to be genuine and authentic in everything that I do, you know, because I've gotten so, growing up in the church and Christianity and conservatism and everything, it made me so good at knowing exactly what to say to all the Christians. Like, I know what all the Christians want to hear, you know, and I don't want to say just the stuff that I know is expected of me to be said, you know, and so, yeah, I guess that's probably.
I like that. Like that is where you notice that where the song turns. Like the very thing that we're upset with that these people that we've raised up to do these big things and they are failing in some way or another by a facade in life. They are
for the most part, just on a grander stage with more consequence, doing the same things that we are prone to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And so that doesn't alter, I suppose, some of the reaction to that humanity on the big stage, but it should at least help put it into some level of perspective on what it is that we're otherwise asking folks to do. And I think that it's interesting that you said that, like your description there, because that has come up for me multiple times in this past 2 weeks, is talking with people about not settling for fake freedom, like not yeah. settling for the facade of joy or the appearance of peace. Like, let's have the real thing. Like, if the real thing is available, and yes, it's going to cost you, but it's going to cost you the fake things that are taking you a lot of effort to keep up anyway. Yeah. Like, that's like, if you want true peace, if you want true freedom, like, you're going to have to voluntarily take off the shackles that you, frankly, voluntarily put on, right? Jesus took them off, and then you're still hanging out in the jail cell with the shackles on going, I'm just going to hang out here.
This place is all right.
People seem to like me better like this.
Yeah. It's more comfortable in here, and Jesus is just sitting outside going, I don't know what he's still doing in there.
I right? opened the door, and he's like, I hope the generator don't start. The power go out.
So, like, but it's weird to think of how much effort that we put into false pretenses for the benefit of everyone else. It's such a goofy thing. Jesus allows us self-sacrificially to also be extremely selfish. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, in service to others, we find true peace and joy. And, like, it's the most self-serving, selfless thing to do. And we miss out on a lot of that stuff with self-imposed shackles or the simple effort that it takes to keep up a facade of a perfect life or of joy that we don't really have, or frankly just being dishonest with God about where our relationship's at, when, like, if we just would deal honestly, we actually get to partake in those things, in the very things that Jesus died for, and we're like, well, but I think we're gonna put together this facade version of these things, and it's such a such a waste. And so that's come up multiple times in the last couple of weeks about people who really are getting to the point where they're like, I just want this thing that we're saying. We're talking about freedom, and I want it. And the thing that it costs you is the facade that made everyone else think that you had freedom that you didn't have. But here's the deal. If you want true freedom, the cost of it is your fake freedom. If you want true joy, the cost to get it is your fake joy.
Now, it's the truth, because you can only keep that up for so long, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you invite people over to your house or whatever, and they're like, hey, you live in a jail cell. You acted like this place was like a farmhouse with dogs and donkeys, and I show up at your place and you living in a jail cell. I don't get it.
Yeah, right. Like, hey, thanks for coming in, boys. What do you like? What do you think of the green that I've done in here? It was like, some guy painted that for you mandatory. State-initiated green.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks really nice. No, it does not. Yeah. All right. Well, big thanks to Micah for sharing. He's you can pick that up if you do you go out to the Spotify or any place where legit music is sold and search for Pilgrim Kid. You'll find that action out there to take in.
I got it on iTunes.
Oh, Mike picked it up on iTunes. Sweet.
Yeah, and you can get hard copies on pilgrimkid.bandcamp.com.
I was going to get a CD, and now I've just downloaded it.
Still get a CD. Yeah. I mean, I'll get
it. Forget it. Cool.
Yeah. So if you want the difficult ones, you go through Bandcamp.
Truth be told, I don't know where that iTunes money goes.
Oh.
I think it goes to my record guy, my buddy Kyle in Nashville. I hope that's where it goes.
He just takes it and swims
in it? Well, like, I mean, he should, because I've sold a lot of CDs, and I probably owe him some money, because he paid for all the, like, I mean, he paid for all the, like, packaging and whatnot.
Oh, right.
The CD, so I don't mind if he...
So Kyle's good people.
Oh, he's great people.
So this is why you moved to Oskaloosa then, to avoid Kyle?
No, I wish
I couldn't come to an agreement on packaging fees?
It's cool. I'm actually going to be playing a show in Nashville in April, I think, and that'll be the first time I've ever played a show in Nashville, so that's pretty exciting.
That's exciting.
We get to go with, right?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay, cool.
You have to pay for some things.
Yeah. See, I was hoping that iTunes money would kind of find its way back to me, and then I would be able to. Okay.
I mean, to be fair, you're driving down there anyway, so I don't feel like I got to go have these on gas or nothing.
If I get a trailer, I can put you guys up.
Yeah, you're the worst host ever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is a bad deal.
What happened?
Yeah.
I'm going back to my prison cell, boys.
Like, I don't think I'm going to leave it.
What happened to hospitality, man? Yeah.
You know, pilgrims right. travel in a group, Micah. They're not one-man shows.
Trying to put up a tent.
Hey, he's trying to get Kyle back.
Yeah.
That's all it is. He's moving. I need $50 to give to Kyle.
Guys.
Keep him off my back.
fair enough. I can get on that.
All right, so you're listening to Life and Path with Michael Everton. A couple things. Make sure you check out his show. Oops, I missed church. You can catch that from 3 to 7. What's the station digits?
So, okay. So it's 99.5 FM and 740 AM. But we're getting a signal boost this month. And so I'm hoping that here in Des Moines it'll be able to be heard. Because right now it's pretty scratchy. The 740 AM reaches further than the 99.5 FM. But if you don't want to listen on the radio, you can listen at radiokmzn.com. That's every Sunday from 3 to 7. And there's also an app, the KMZN radio app. It's just called KMZN radio. And so I'm hoping, I'd really like to get my own Oops, I Missed Church app.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be cool if I could just have all my episodes archived on there and then also have it like double as a music streaming app where it just plays songs that I've played on my show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think that would be pretty sweet. So I don't know. You guys know any app developers?
Nope. I know this guy named Kyle in Nashville.
Okay.
He's more of a record guy, though.
Yeah,
he doesn't do
records.
A lot of app development.
Then no.
Maybe he knows a guy.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Actually,
he's got that iTunes money.
I've gone down that same road multiple times myself, actually. Figuring like an app would be a cool thing to put all the archive of the show
and all that. What puts the brakes to it, Ben?
Money.
It's cash money?
Mm. Yeah, cash money. Yeah,
hey, we should record an album.
Expensive.
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm glad you guys reacted the way you did, because that was an immediately bad
decision. Stomach hurt after you said that.
Mine did too, actually. Yeah. I just went, Boova, why'd you say that?
What? Hey, speaking of good albums, I heard Putting on the Ritz on the way to here.
Wait, the Taco version?
Yeah, by Taco, yeah. Yeah, the 80s version of Putting on the Ritz.
I don't know if I've heard that song, guys.
Well, I have,
what?
But
hold
on
a second. I'm going to see what I can.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No. You heard that on the way here?
Before I went and picked you up.
I was going to say, you heard me on the way here.
It's a band called Taco?
Yeah, it's like an electronica 80s version of Putting on the Ritz.
I just recently got a synthesizer, and it's been pretty fun.
That's what everyone with a synthesizer thinks.
Dude, there's so many sounds you can make. It's crazy.
Man, really? I want a synthesizer.
It's pretty fun. Wait a minute.
Is this it?
Is this a real thing?
Hold on.
I can dig it.
This don't sound right.
No.
Oh, that was an intro. If you're blue and you don't know where to
go to, why don't you go where... Hold on. No, what is this?
I was going to say, is this a new wave version of it?
This isn't quite what I was thinking of.
I don't know, but I can dig it. It's a slow jam.
I feel like I put this on to go to sleep.
Yeah, baby.
Hold on.
Don't play the... That's the remix.
Well, that sounds right, though. Yeah, yeah. This is what we're talking... Okay, hold on.
I don't think I've heard it. Ooh, but I like it.
Wasn't there a movie that had this in it? This version, not the original.
It's in Cats.
That's from Cats, yeah.
You uncultured boob.
The musical Cats.
Micah.
Oh, come on. It's sandwiched between
guys, I've never
Mr. Mistopheles and something else.
You've not seen the musical Cats?
I've never once seen Cats.
Have you seen Les Mis?
Yeah. Les Mis, man. Mm.
And you haven't seen Cats?
No.
No, Mike, you've not seen Cats.
I know, but Boob. Boob,
hey, man, it's ridiculous.
We were in the band. We played in the swing band behind the show choir that was doing hits from Cats.
Yeah. Ooh.
Wait, it wasn't the taco version, though.
No, we played
Magical. I know you guys well enough to know you did not play that version. That song is going to be stuck in my head for the next 10 days.
Actually, if you could meld that together with Very Superstitious, you'd have one heck of a tune.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. I do.
What was that?
Have you guys listened to that Hamilton musical?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Hamilton musical.
Boova!
Oh,
Boova. Get out of your house.
Read a book, dude.
What?
Jeez.
I'm reading like 6 books.
Here's the deal. I listened to the Hamilton musical. I was taking a drive up to Minneapolis for work, and I mean, that drive has never gone faster or better.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to the Hamilton musical.
It's incredible.
It tells a story. The music is good.
Okay, is it called Hamilton or Hamilton musical?
It's
or
called
what?
Hamilton. It's about Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
And they do it like...
Musical about Alexander Hamilton?
You know nothing about this?
Oh, man.
No, I've never heard of this. This is not a thing that...
Oh, my goodness.
This is a thing that is just now reaching my brain.
I'm telling you, it's like... It's like maybe the best musical that's ever been.
How old is it?
It's new.
Last
it came
year.
Like 2015 or 16.
Well, there we go. At least I'm not that far
Hamilton.
Behind.
Hamilton. What
do man, they do so
hey, man, if I haven't
so
heard
good.
Of the thing, I probably wouldn't recognize a song from
you
it.
You want to fight for your land back? You need your right hand man back.
no, hey, you got to stream that. It's fantastic.
All right, fair enough. I'm listening to Hamilton.
I was going to put We Homeschool, and actually I decided I was going to create some homeschool curriculum about Alexander Hamilton, the musical, over the summer.
That's just lazy, Ben. That's just lazy on your part.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Except for there's a couple inappropriate items that I have to figure out how to deal with.
What's Show Me How to Say No to This? You know that song?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Man, I think that's my favorite song. Maybe. I don't know.
It's pretty good.
It's so good.
All right. Yeah. Booba's got stuff to do this week.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I'm on spring break. No worries. I can do that.
Man, I think you're going to leave that alone. You're going to do Live from the Path.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Dear Live from the Path, I have been with my boyfriend for 2 years. Until recently, we were inseparable, and I loved his company. I got a job that required me to temporarily relocate.
Wait, what is his company about? Was he a manufacturer?
I got a job that required me to temporarily relocate and be on my own, so we saw each other only every other week.
Does he produce paper goods?
During that time, I gained a better understanding of who I am and how I want to spend my time.
It's a service business. He's a mop man.
Since then, I realized that my boyfriend and I may not be as compatible as I once thought. We discussed it, and he's willing to do anything to make it work, but some things can't be changed, such as his interests and small quirks he has.
Wow!
And small quirks?
I love him, except for the things about him.
Yeah. What, the things that make him?
The things that
take.
He's interested in, I'm really not into.
He whistles Spanish rap and has a vestigial tail.
He was great on our first date. It went downhill from there.
I'm having a hard time because I want to break things off, but then I worry that he could be the one that got away.
Wait, no.
With his weird quirks.
She doesn't really worry that.
No.
No way, if she doesn't even really like him.
Any advice would be appreciated.
Sister, break up with him. No. I just got broken up with and it sucks, but do it.
Here's
strike him while the iron is hot.
Everybody's going down.
here's the thing. I've seen this happen multiple times, right? And this will happen in marriages. This happens when people are dating. It happens when people get space, right? Like when you spend time with other people, there's give and take. Okay, that's just the way it is around other people, whether it be friends or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. You gotta give some, you gotta take some. And then you start spending time by yourself and you're like, you know what? This is great! I do all the taking. I don't have to give nothing. And then you start to think, maybe I don't like that guy so much. Maybe I'm just trying to figure out who I am. And really what you just realize is it takes no work to be you when you're by yourself. Like there's no give and take, it's just you doing whatever you want. And that type of freedom feels pretty good for a little while, right? It just does. I don't have to call nobody. I don't have to ask nobody nothing. I go to bed when I want. I get up when I want. No one cares what I wear. I can eat cereal for 3 meals. This is fantastic.
It's a heroin. Self-centeredness is a heroin.
You've worn hot dog shirt for 3 days, man.
It seems like a good idea. You feel really good doing it, but it cannot sustain itself.
That's exactly
it's not
right.
A way to live.
That's exactly right. So I guess what I'm going to submit here, friend, is that you found some space. You got some space apart from the person that was taking energy on your behalf to deal with. And then you realize that you don't have to expel that much energy to be by yourself. You get to do what you want, and you get to center on just you. And then when someone else wants part of you back, you're like, yeah, you know, this is kind of irritating. I liked it better when I could just do whatever I wanted anytime that I wanted.
Yeah.
And you'll feel that way until you get lonely, until you realize that you kind of suck. And, like, you can't pull this off for 20 years. For a while, you can't. And there's people that can do it their whole lives. But, like, not without friends, not without family, not without something. Like, being in relationship with people, that's what it is. And where there are folks that need time by themselves to rejuvenate, right? But not for years. And you can't blame other people because you enjoy that type of freedom. That's not fair.
Right. It's a false reality. The false reality is that your life is actually better long-term without people as a whole, right?
It doesn't have to be your boyfriend or girlfriend, right?
Yeah,
but you're just talking about people.
I don't care. You can break up with this person. But like the thought, but you cannot do, it's not fair to judge the quality of a relationship by the fact that you enjoy your free time away from that relationship because it is a false premise. Your life you can't be king of the ring for the rest of your life and live in complete selfishness. That will backfire on you. It will create deeper problems that you won't be able to deal with. So, like, at least if you're going to evaluate the quality or the relationship, do it in the relationship, not outside, from a what is ultimately a false perspective. It's okay to be by yourself. It's okay to not be attached to somebody. All that's fine. But just make sure that, like, it always feels different. Like, Mike has this experience too. Like, and when you go out of town, for work or whatever, and you're away from your wife, the first couple of days is like, oh man, look, I don't have any of the same responsibilities.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and like, but it's not a right view of the world.
No.
Right? Like, I'm not going to live 3 months in a hotel room away from my wife. I got to day three, and I'm like, can I go home yet?
Yeah, this sucks.
Yeah, like, and so what I'm saying is, it's perfectly okay to break up with this person if it's not right. But like, don't be in the hotel room at day two going, you know what, marriage sucks, this is the life.
Yeah.
That's the wrong way to do it.
I like to eat at 9 o'clock and watch Sopranos, and then she wouldn't let me do that. Boo. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the things you're railing against.
Yeah.
Micah, any second thoughts there?
I don't think so. I guess just from what I've learned from being on the other end, the guy that was broken up with, is that it absolutely needed to happen. You know,
really?
And it was it's proven to be a very good thing for me, because I was like allowing myself to be someone I didn't even really want to be.
Sure.
While I was in this relationship. And I think a lot of times we do that without even realizing it. And so maybe she's having those realizations, this girl that sent us this letter, you know? And then I think it's very important that she breaks it off, just because, I don't know, there's so much, it sucks to be alone, but it's like one of the best things for us a lot of times, I think.
And you're not doing anybody any favors by putting on a show here, right?
Seriously.
Like, going back to politician style, right? Like, like if you're not the person, for heaven's sakes, like, you're not doing them a service by saying, well, I'm not sure they're the right person for me, but I don't want to let them down, or I don't want it to be the one that got away. Like, you're being downright cruel.
Yeah.
By holding on to something. If it's not right, like, let them free so they can find the thing that's right. Don't tie them up just because you can't assuage your guilt in the matter.
Mm-hmm. Secular says, as you have found, distance doesn't always make the heart grow fonder. Keeping someone around, not because you're crazy about him, but because you're afraid if you don't, he will be the one who got away, is not a reason to continue the relationship. Your breather has shown that he may not be the one after all. That's a good thing, and not something to be afraid of.
What did you say, breather?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Not getting away from him, or taking a break, a breather.
Oh, I thought it was a reference to the person.
No.
Like, that was one of his
like
quirks.
Like, they're a mouth breather?
He breathes funny.
No.
My bad.
Hopefully your person's a breather.
Let's see. So do the kind thing and let him go. That way he can find someone who loves him, quirks and all. And so can you. Hmm. You want to do one more?
Yeah.
Dear Life from the Path, my son Jake is headed to college in the fall, and I want his last year at home to be memorable and happy. He's a good student and has been admitted to the college of his choice. The problem is, he can't wake himself up in the morning. He switches off the alarm and goes back to sleep. I must go up to his room several times to wake him, because he won't get up the first time. Jake is otherwise independent. He does his own laundry and keeps his room spotless. I'm spending a large part of my savings on his tuition, and I'm worried that unless he can wake himself up in the morning, he won't get to classes on time. I've tried talking to him about putting the alarm on snooze instead of turning it off, but nothing works. My husband suggests we pour a glass of cold water on Jake's face 10 minutes after the alarm goes off. Can you help us solve the problem?
Stop waking him up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let him deal with the consequences.
Right now. Especially when it's free. You know what I'm saying?
He graduated and he's going to go to college next year. You still waking this man up? My 8-year-old gets herself out of bed.
I'm not proud of that. I had that issue when I was like a junior, and I didn't have a car at the time, and my dad let me sleep in. And he said, you got to get to school. And I said, well, can you give me a ride? He goes, no. And I said, well, I need to get to school, Dad. He goes, yeah, the bus left like an hour and a half ago. I go, well, that's funny, Dad. Like, I need the keys or need you to take me. He goes, you're walking to school today. Now, I lived on one side of Altoona, and I went to Southeast Polk, which was like 8 miles away from my house.
Yeah.
He made me walk to school. And thankfully, because my dad realized, yeah, my son Boo was kind of a bigger guy. he's going to pass out before he gets there. He came pick me up after about 3 miles of walking. But he came pick me up, and he goes, you ever going to be late again? I go, no, sir. He goes, you missed that bus again. I'm not coming pick you up halfway through. You're walking the whole way. He goes, you're going to walk 8 miles to school, or you're going to deal with the consequences of missing a whole day of school, because I will hold you accountable for missing that day. And I started setting my alarm, and I realized I was awful at it, so I stopped putting my alarm next to me. I put it on the other side of the room. I asked my parents. I said, I don't really have a lot of cash. Can you get me the loudest alarm on the planet? Those dinner bells that go off in schools when lunch is ready or something like that. I had one of those that sat in my room, and my neighbors could hear it.
Yeah.
Because they started complaining and saying, hey, can your son make sure that he turns his alarm clock off? We can hear it over here. And I got it quick taken care of. But it was because my parents said, we're not dealing with that. He's going to be an adult soon. He's got to take care of that himself.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing that people misunderstand about parenting. And I don't nail this all the time, right? But, like, you have to give your kids the opportunity to fail. And then let them sit in that for a while. Like, I was listening to a guy tell a story one time. He was like, my daughter, she makes her own lunch, you know, and she didn't. She straight up was about ready to get on the bus, and she's like, hey, I don't have any lunch. Can I do hot lunch? And he goes, no, you make your lunch. Well, I didn't make it today. You'll figure something out. So she calls back home, like, at 9 o'clock, and he's like, hey, look, you know, I still don't have a lunch. Can you bring me one up? And the guy's like, no. I mean, you're going to have to borrow food from people or something. Like, figure something out. You know, use your resources. You know what I'm saying? And like, the kid never got their lunch again. They borrowed an apple from one guy, a sandwich from another guy, and had a couple drinks of milk, and they were fine, right? Consequences are there for a reason, right?
Right.
To teach you to do something different. And so if this kid is in his senior year, and you and your husband are cahooting together in attempts to try to help him get out of bed, you've been doing this wrong for years. This is totally on him to get it straightened out. No, that's it. Okay. Secular says. Anybody want secular? Although you may think your husband's suggestion is harsh and inappropriate, it's time you stopped coddling your son. True. The two of you need to sit down and tell him that college is expensive, and that if you and your husband are willing to go through the financial hardship of paying for it, he must wake up by himself, and if he cannot manage to do that, he will have to pay for his own education. Perhaps that will get across to him that you are serious.
That's all right. Still, you don't need to lay it on thick. Here's the deal. It's like the natural consequence to not getting up is you miss school, and then you have to deal with that. Just let him deal with the natural consequences. You don't have to amp him up.
No. If you don't get up for school, your whole life will be ruined.
Exactly. You won't have a career someday because you couldn't get up for work.
You get up or I'll murder your cat. I'll skin
Please
him.
Don't murder your children's
on the internet.
Pets.
Until you're bred. Like,
it's a bit strong. There's
natural
no
consequences are fine. And here's the deal. It's like, if natural consequences don't work, your water on the face was like, you have a different problem. Right? People, if he's a responsible dude who cares about his future, once he misses 3 days or is constantly running late or has to deal with the circumstance, like, he'll figure it out. If he doesn't care about that, you shouldn't be putting your money down on his college anyhow. Either just use a proper filter. How does he react to natural consequences?
Yeah.
Done.
Want to do one more?
Let's do one more, and then we'll have Micah carry the rest of the show out.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, I'm 51, and my boyfriend is 43.
Great.
We've been dating for 8 months, living together for 5.
Of course.
Wow. We met at work a few months before we started dating. We get along great and never argue, but he won't let me meet his family. He has never been married and has no children. He sees his mom and brother sometimes for dinner and such, but because his mom doesn't have any grandchildren and I can't give her any, he said he's not ready to tell her about me.
What?
Does this make sense? What the heck?
Wait. I feel like that's not a real reason.
No.
They've been dating for 8 months?
Yeah.
Living together for 5?
Yep.
He's 51, she's 43.
No. Yep.
Wait, other way around, I think.
Backwards.
I think she's
oh, yeah, right on. She's 51, he's 43.
Anyway. Yeah, no, that's not a real reason.
He might be catfishing her.
Like, if you trust someone...
Hold on a second. What's that phrase? What's a catfish?
You know that MTV show, Catfish, where the kids get, like...
They're not
led on by internet relationships or whatever. They fall in love with somebody over the internet, and then they go and try and figure out if it's a real person
or not.
Yeah,
it's like a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone makes a fake profile on some social media site, starts interacting with another person, and they actually start building and developing a relationship.
So you think...
I was a little out of context.
You think she's a 22-year-old Indian dude in a call center? That's what you think?
Named Farinush? Possibly. I don't know. It feels like this guy trusts her enough to live with her, right? Like, after 3 months of dating, they went, hey, this seems like a good deal. Do you want to live together all the time?
That's probably a bit of a shine. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then he says, no, I don't want you to meet my family because my mother's going to be mortified that you can't give her grandchildren because you're too old.
Yeah, right?
Which is...
What?
Yeah, that seems pretty odd.
Yeah. I stopped.
Hi, nice to meet you. You live with my son. You can't give me grandchildren?
You can't give me grandchildren.
Yeah. Get out of here.
What is this, like, some...
I hear you're shacking up. Either either spit one out or break it off.
Hey, this is ridiculous.
This is some weird custom that the parents have that's like, you only give us grandchildren. That's what we care about.
That's right.
It's like, what is this Eastern European thing that's being put into this that they're upset that they're not getting grandchildren and that's the only thing they care about?
Farinouche, you do this every time.
Why do you go for internet trolls?
You should just adopt rabbits.
They have lots of kids.
Make me proud, rabbit.
Instead of you bring home old bag every time.
I don't have any good advice there except for get out. You got to get out of this.
Yeah,
thing.
Leave now.
No. This is, listen, here's the deal. Let's just be flat out honest. You did, moving in with someone after 3 months was a bad move.
In every situation.
When people hide you from their closest known relatives, that's poor.
That's strike two and three.
Yeah, like they should be showing you off. If they're at all even implying that you're going to have to be dealt with their mom or figure out how do I break the news that I've settled for you, that's not the right way to build a relationship. It's time to go, sweetheart.
Is it possible the mom is just bat crazy?
Or the guy's of a crazy ass. Like, he could just be afraid of his mother.
But that,
okay, true. The Rock. Seriously? What is the people's elbow coming next?
Is that a Rock saying?
Yes.
It's something the Rock would say.
Probably. Wow. All right.
I didn't know that.
I was
that.
Not expecting that. From Ben.
I don't get those channels. But if it doesn't come free over the air, I don't know it.
All right, fair enough.
So Ben makes a solid point. Like if let's say that the mom is bat crazy and like he is a coward and he just doesn't want to explain it, that still makes him a coward and a candy ass. Yeah. And, like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
So I'm with Ben.
What's the people's elbow?
What?
What is that?
Do you ever watch wrestling?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I listen to Hamilton.
Oh. So we're on two very battling sides of American culture. You dug on the Hamilton musical. I was like, the people's elbow.
I go
Stone
to Broadway
Cold Steve Austin's coming
and
out.
Sip Earl Grey tea. Booba drinks a 40 of Bush Light and watches wrestling.
I got some King Cobra over here. And the Mad Dog 2020. Let's do this.
I also picked up three shooters on the way out.
America.
I dip my Oreos in skull. Now, what is the people's elbow?
Oh, man. Scorios. This is certainly not a place that I've existed before. I've never been the America guy. I'm excited to be him. I don't know. It feels weird. Man. It's a role reversal.
Hacksaw Jim Booba. Yeah. Go ahead.
The people's elbow is just Dwayne. Okay, Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Yes, do you know him?
The eyebrow man.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. When he was a wrestler, like WWF wrestler, he had his signature move was called the people's elbow, and it was just him dropping his elbow onto somebody and hitting them.
Hulk Hogan does that.
He called it the people's elbow, and he did it. I'm not saying I originated this deal and made it for him.
He stole it from the Hulkster.
Certainly possible. Yeah, I was going to say, they all kind of originate with those dudes.
Yeah, you can't copyright the elbow.
Hey, man, he's the Trump. He's the populist. He says, hey, I'm doing it for the people. Everyone else does the elbow, but this guy does it for
the
people.
People's elbow. And he makes a big deal out of it. He points at the crowd. Everybody knows he's going to do it. And then he does this weird hand move and then drops his elbow on somebody. And he calls it the people's elbow. He also says candy ass. But he says it like when he's trying to be tough against his opponent in the ring. And so just seeing you and thinking of Dwayne The Rock Johnson saying it was certainly a weird play in my mind.
I don't know. I can't. You can't be a Bill Tough guy and use the word candy.
No, it's true.
The Rock did it. He also used the people's elbow. I mean, maybe you should reevaluate your ways if you're going to say things
No,
like
that's
this.
True. It's done right by him. He went from beating people up to what, Moana?
Yeah, Moana.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I still haven't seen, but I saw a video online where he was singing a song.
He's made like 14 Fast the Furious
it
movies.
It all started
now.
With candy ass. He ended up in the people in the Disney movie.
I mean, he's done pretty well for himself, I feel, the career that he's led, because he started out, I mean,
this is
the people's elbow.
That's true.
They tell people not to sell out, and all you have to do is point at the crowd and drop an elbow, and people
exactly.
Yeah.
No, selling out is what someone says who doesn't make money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you sold out. Yeah, that's why we're in a capitalist society. That's the point.
Yeah, everyone who hasn't sold out usually can answer the phrase, well, I tried. I just,
I tried to sell out, but they didn't want what I was selling.
Folks weren't buying.
So I just got curmudgeon-y about it.
So that makes me a pure artist.
Secular says, if, after 8 months of dating and living together for five, you still haven't met his family, he has no intention of introducing you.
ever.
Yep.
Your inability to give his mother grandchildren has nothing to do with it.
Agreed.
You are a human being, not a broodmare.
Oh, sorry, what?
Nice!
You are a human being, not a broodmare.
Okay, right.
And the excuse he's giving you makes no sense. Picture this scenario. Hey, Ma, this is Becky, and she's fertile. Police.
Hey, I'm kind of proud of Secular for using broodmare.
Yeah, that's cool. Hamilton.
Yeah, this is
the people's elbow.
That guy's, he's not an urban gentleman.
No, absolutely not. He's not a regular gentleman either.
He's not the kind of man that would buy Scorios.
What was the, oh man. What was the phrase in that urban gentleman article? It called somebody something. Do you remember it was an insult that was in the urban gentleman article? Pete, what is it? Come on, Pete. You got to remember that, right?
Come on.
Pete'll know.
Pete will know. Pete, okay. Tweet me about it.
Yeah. Just see, hook, move up. I don't remember what it was. Nope, gone completely.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I it's like there, but it's not coming out.
It was good, and I feel like I'm missing it from my life. Okay.
Scheisty. The Urban Gentleman is a man's fashion blog.
No,
it was the article we read about the Urban Gentleman that we started kind of spinning off the Urban Gentleman.
Yeah, what is it? Like, we've tried to define what an Urban Gentleman does.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
We did that like one day Twitter campaign.
Yeah, right on.
Oh, yeah, right.
Maybe
we
should bring that back. Yeah. All right, whatever.
I was messed up on school during that time.
school and Oreos.
Let's go to better parts.
All right. You're hanging out with us on Live from the Path. We do appreciate you being with us on the show. If you have any feedback for us, and it's like, I mean, here's the deal. If you love the show, shoot us an email, info@livefromthepath.org. If you hate the show, even though we are no longer on the Truth Network, I feel like you should direct your references to Chris Roloff at, I think it's croloff@wtru.com. And I'm sure he would appreciate. Hey, here's the deal.
It was very specific to think something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to make it sound like we're still on his station, so that there's just a hesitance to him, where he's like, "I thought those guys had not been on my station.
Wait, they're not on my show. Oh, wait, oh, no, they're
garnering complaints, and I thought I'd kick them off." That's what I want you to like. So, I mean, you don't lie or anything, but like, don't correct the notion that we're still playing on the Truth Network. That would be best. So anyway, we appreciate that. And make sure you, during the week, you can check us out at lifeinthepath.org. You can see past clips from the show, including clips from Driven 11 and Egypt Ali, who were in here last week. And I just posted on the Facebook Most High from Aaron Nail, one of the best. I mean, it sounded great.
Yeah.
When Aaron Nail and the boys were in here, and they're playing at the Real Men Conference at Rising Sun Church of Christ this Friday the 17th.
I will be there.
And Boova will be there. And so you can check that out, and should be T.C. Stallings is there. I think it's $15. Sorry, that price range cut me from the deal. But I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
I had a benefactor.
It's got to be five bucks or less, otherwise I'm just going to make it.
Hey, Micah, does the KMZN radio app, does that do archives? Like, can people listen to archive versions?
I wish it did, but it doesn't.
It does not.
It's a pretty, like, minimal app.
Gotcha.
It's kind of lame.
You should develop your own app.
I know, I'd really like to. So... And
you should call it the People's App.
The People's App. Yeah, I don't know. And then I've been trying to get it like just on our website too, the radio station's website, like the archives of the show, but that hasn't been able to happen yet either, just because I don't really know why they can't figure it out yet, but we just have to go through other companies and stuff. Because the radio station is owned by the bottling company in Oskaloosa,
mm-hmm.
and so we have to go through like... all kinds of stuff with
right.
other businesses, or like our media stuff has to go. It's really over my head. Like, I don't really know why I can't get the archives up. But I tried buying a SoundCloud account that I could just upload the episodes on.
Yeah.
But there's two options to buy on SoundCloud, and I bought the cheap one because I didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Oh, your show's too big.
And it was like but my show is 4 hours
yeah.
long, and I uploaded too much. So
yeah.
I didn't realize that there was an upload limit, and then... So now I'm like, well, great. I got to figure something out.
Yeah.
So I might
yeah.
just upload them all on YouTube. Just the 4-hour audio bit on YouTube. But
well, there you go.
I'd like to get an app and eventually probably like my own website and stuff that I could have them up on.
Yeah, you got to do that.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Big dreams. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. So you have another tune, though.
Yeah.
Mike, what's on the docket over there?
This one's called I'm a Gypsy?
Yeah. This one's called I'm a Gypsy. It could have been called... Never Alone, or I don't know. This is the first song I wrote after I got paralyzed.
Okay.
So I'd kind of taken a break from making music after I got paralyzed, just because I'm paralyzed from my mid-chest down, so I don't have my abdomen doesn't work normal anymore. I can't feel it or contract the muscles in there. And so I was nervous about my voice. Like, I didn't think I'd be able to sing like I used to. And so it took me quite a while to write some tunes again. But I wrote this song one night, and it was the first one I wrote after I got paralyzed. So it just kind of goes through just kind of the whole idea of the being a pilgrim and a kid and identity and stuff. So
sweet. Well, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're in studio with Michael Everton. This is I'm a Gypsy. Take it away.
One second. Sorry, guys. There it is. Well, I'm wandering down this barren road, and I'm looking for a lighter load to carry. Not on my own. And I'm searching for an open door to rest my head on this hardwood floor. And I'm lying, not on my own. Oh, I'm a gypsy, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a son, I'm a bride. Everything in the world is awake, it's alive, and I'm wondering how, and I'm asking why, and I'm doubting, not on my own. And the waves they crash, and the waves they rise, and I'm looking for a reason why to open these bloodshot eyes. Oh, I'm a gypsy, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a son, I'm a bride. Longing for my coming home, where the tears they're gone, and I'm running towards your arms, always open wide. And the sweet embrace of my papa's heart and that tender smile tears me apart in the most beautiful way. And it's a foolish love, I can't understand, that he'd lead me here, that he'd take my hand, and I'd know I'm not on my own. Oh, I'm a gypsy, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a son, I'm a bride. And the wedding feast, it's near, not far, and I'm longing just to be where you are again. Not on my own. And the marriage wine, it's sweet
not dry, and I'll drink it up, and I'll close my eyes just to see. I'm never alone. Oh, I'm a gypsy, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a son, I'm a bride.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
That was I'm a Gypsy with Mike Leverton. Mike, a big thanks for hanging out with us on Live from the Path.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. It was such a treat to be here. I'm so glad you found me, you creeper.
Hey, man, that's dead off.
Creep on me all you want.
That is pretty much what happened, yeah. So big thanks to Micah for coming in. Don't miss his show. Oops, I Missed Church. You can check out live stream that business on the website. Sorry, one more time. What was the website?
RadioKMZN.com.
There you go. It's having from 3 to 7 every Sunday. Make sure you check out Micah there. Also, do a search and find the tunes by the Pilgrim Kid. You can get that everywhere legit music is sold, because that is legit music and it's good. And so we do hope you enjoy that. And also, can they find you on social media?
Yeah, I got Twitter, and my Twitter handle is just, I think it's Pilgrim Kid. Yeah, or no. It's just Michael Leverton. Just type in Michael Leverton, and it looks like Leverton, but it's lever like a lever, not lever like a beaver. That's what I tell people. Yeah. So just
that's right on.
Michael, that's the people's explanation.
And I got all the Instagram, Facebook, you know. And then the Oops, I Missed Church page is on Facebook also.
Yeah, there you go. Dig on that. Like that stuff. You can keep up to date with what's going on. And when he either comes up with the big money to put the full show on SoundCloud, or takes slick advantage of the YouTube open upload and puts just pictures of whatever behind a four-hour radio program.
Right on.
That'd be good.
All right. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. We do appreciate, like I said, good things about the show. Shoot me an email. Bad things about the show. Let Chris roll off at the Truth Network know. And we will see you next week. Jeff Hanna and his wife, Nancy, are going to be in. They run the Fish Factory here in Des Moines. Got lots of cool stuff going on. Speaking of Arendelle, he did his last CD release at the Fish Factory. And they do community meals and just lots of cool stuff going on there. So we're going to catch up with them and see what they got going on.
Hey, isn't Arendelle's at the Real Men, correct, this Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, 17th, yep. Oh, shoot, and I forgot it again, but don't miss, Light 45 is out with their new music video came out last week.
They're bringing you back to life.
They're bringing you back to life, yeah. So go check that out. Just do a search for Light 45 on Facebook, and they've posted that video there. You can check that out. Always just love what those guys are up to. They're also, I saw that they're writing some new music, so excited to see what they got coming up here in the weeks and months to come. So, all right, we'll see you next week. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.